The New Zealand Breakers, Matty.
Mm.
The taco's gone bad.
It smells.
I cannot honestly remember, and you will be able to fill in the gaps here, of a team, particularly in the NBL, in my time around the league, and that's only a decade, you would be able to fill in the gaps with the rest, but a team that has set their season on fire so spectacularly, yeah, as the New Zealand Breakers have, with moving on Freddie Gillespie and bringing in Taco Fall.
Yeah.
This has been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, well, so far. You know, the first four games would indicate that's the case. I mean, you're talking about, you know, round 10, they lose to Illawarra, 109-71. It was embarrassing, and Perth destroyed them. They put 112 on Perth because Perth can't play D, but they gave up 123. Then they were just completely pathetic against Melbourne and Sydney, you know, 97-70. And this is a, I'd say at home, but they are home games, even though they're sort of taking it to the streets, as it were, at the moment. But, you know, losing to Melbourne the way they did, and then just coming out as flat as a pancake against the Kings. And I think the Kings scored the first 9 points. And, I mean, the game was over. You know, I mean, 98-83 in the end kind of flattered New Zealand, because I felt, I mean, Sydney just took their foot off the accelerator in that fourth quarter. So, you know, and of course it's come at the same time as this move where, you know, Freddie Gillespie heads to Olympia Milano and they bring in Taco Fall. But of course this happened when they went overseas and they drafted in Taco Fall for those three NBA games. Of course, he didn't play in any of them because he was rehabbing that injury. And I think most of us felt, oh, well, it was a bit of a, you know, it was a nice little marketing tool, a nice little exercise. Hey, wow, Taco, you know, he's there and he's part of the group and it's fun, it's exciting. He's like a guest star, you know what I mean, of a TV show. Only to then find out that when they go home, oh, Taco's still with the team. What's going on here? And from that point, you knew it was just a matter of time. Now, look, Freddie Gillespie could have easily gotten a job somewhere else, but you question whether he would have even bothered had Taco stayed in the US. But he's there. He's obviously going to training every day. Gillespie sees it and probably thinks, damn, they're going to replace me. And obviously, you know, contacts his agent. His agent finds him a job, and that's it. And he gets released, and Taco comes in. But you just feel like the whole thing could have been avoided.
Just so stupid. Just so stupid.
Particularly, and look, and I've said this, you know, a few times. This is coming from someone who wasn't a Freddie Gillespie fan.
No. In the beginning.
Not at all. And I was very critical of him, and I felt like he was out of his depth. But he shut me up. He did.
He was, you know, brilliant.
He was fantastic. You know, the he gave them that, led the league in block shots. He gave them a real starch defensively. He actually set the tone for them, you know, he at that end of the floor. And it was no surprise that, you know, they were playing as well as they were. You know, that great win against the Kings at Kyrgios Bank Arena. And I looked at this team and I thought, look, Petteri Kaupinen, coach of the year, you know, and look, this is fantastic. But they have absolutely fallen in a heap, and four straight losses. And it's not so much, look, everyone can lose games. It's how you lose games that's the concern for me. And they haven't been competitive. And it's going back to that first game I saw them play as a group. Obviously, this was pre-Taco Fall in the preseason when, you know, Brad Rosen and myself called that preseason game with the Kings at the Key Centre here in Sydney. Now, obviously, you know, of course you don't put too much stock into it, but that was kind of the type of game it was. You know, they were non-competitive. They didn't play, you know, tough D. They didn't rebound. They, you know, Parker Jackson Cartwright was terrific, as he still is. I mean, that was a game they played without Matt Mooney. But they just, nothing in that game said to me, this team's going to be a contender of any kind this season. So I had them really lowly ranked after that in particular. But they, you know, obviously they start 2-0, then they go overseas, they come back, and the form continues. And you think, and you, then you sort of look at it objectively and you say, I was wrong. You know, this team can do some, they could potentially do something special. I love the front line. I love Gillespie, Menenga. Jonah Bolden's going to get better. You know, we hadn't seen the best of him yet. Unfortunately, he's since gotten hurt. But with Gillespie in there and then that great backcourt of PJC and Matt Mooney, I thought these guys have got something. And Kopanen knows what he's doing. Now, obviously, he's been dealt this card by the front office. And I just think it's like a self-inflicted death spiral that they've done this to themselves. Now, Tacofall, look, he's a fun story. Gets in there, offensive rebound, he hardly has to jump to dunk it, all of that stuff. By all accounts, he's a good teammate, he's good to be around, but he doesn't play a winning basketball, a style that's conducive to winning basketball in the NBL. He can't defend pick and roll in space. The only thing they can do with him is drops coverage or a zone. That's the only thing they can do with him defensively. The teams in this league scout brilliantly. Everybody else scouts just fantastic. You know, it's a real science. And he's easy to pick apart defensively, you know, and it's not going to change. He doesn't have the lateral movement. He can't shoot the ball outside of 5 feet, maybe even 4 or 3 feet. So, I love the guy. I'm a fan. I loved him when he was, that's because obviously he played with my Boston Celtics and that was always a great story, but no one in their right mind would believe that he would be, you know, a guy that was going to help him win a championship. And it's the same here, you know, and it's just, I just think it's really unfortunate for Breaker fans. It's unfortunate for that team. And it's unfortunate for Petri Kopanen that this thing went down the way it did, where it just looks like a complete marketing tool, or, you know, marketing, someone's bright idea of a marketing campaign with a guy that's not going to help you win a championship, I'm afraid. He's just not. And now they're in a position where they could very easily fall out of calculations. And after the start to the season, that's just a damn shame, or would be a damn shame. I hope I'm wrong, by the way. And look, it wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong. Everybody knows this. But I just feel like, you know, it's how much time can you give this guy, you know, on the floor, and how much is he going to be a contributor towards winning? And that's what it comes down to for me.
1 month ago, the Breakers went into John Cain Arena and they blew Melbourne United to bits, 113-79.
Yeah.
And now they get blown apart 97-70 by the same team 1 month later. And I can't even say they look a shell of what they were. Yeah. The proof's in the pudding. They see Freddie Gillespie off. They've lost four straight. Yeah. They look putrid. Utterly putrid.
By the way, a Melbourne team missing Chris Golding, Ian Clark, Marcus Lee. Like, and Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe torched them.
Rob Lowe, and look, Rob's been terrific for Melbourne, but yeah, I mean, he just went off because, whenever Taco was on, I mean, he just attacked him, and why wouldn't you? You know, teams aren't stupid. So, yeah, it's just disappointing. It really is. You just hate to see it happen.
I just don't, and again, like I said about the whole afraid JCA situation, if someone from the Breakers would like to come onto the program and just explain to us what
Matt Walsh hates me.
Of course they're not going to.
Matt Walsh is not a fan of me at all, I can tell you.
Well, be even less of a fan now. But
What
was the point? Because from my unlearned perspective, this really does feel like a case of torching your entire season for the sake of a few social media clicks.
Mm.
What is the point of this?
Yeah.
Was this to trend on TikTok? What was the point of this? This is a team that were on track to potentially pinch a title. They were on track to potentially win the whole thing. Now, they're most likely going to be out of the six by Christmas.
Yeah.
That's damning.
Yeah.
That's disgraceful, actually. It's shameful. And I feel so sorry for the Breakers players, for the Breakers coaching staff. I feel sorry for Taco being put in this scenario. What the hell were you thinking? What the hell were the Breakers thinking?
Mm.
I just can't. That'd be like Geelong signing Gary Ablett Sr. Sure, you'll get some social media clicks, but I don't know if he's going to quite have the same hops that he used to. What's the point of this?
You might think so. Yeah. Anyway, God, as of course he was called. But yeah,
just
absolutely.
Dumb.
Not much more to add. Yeah. Yeah. It's just you kind of shake your head at it in not in the Bryce Cotton way, but in the other way, the bad way.
They're done. They're done. I'm not afraid to. I'm going to be playing that audio in about 2 months' time and be proven wrong. Unless PJC goes off on a Bryce Cotton-like tear, the Breakers are done.
Mm.
They look like a husk.
Yeah, look, again, it's, you know, the overreaction part of me says, look, it's four games, you know, give him time. But the problem is there isn't that much time left. Like, that's the issue. I mean, what have they got? They've already played, well, they played 14 games, so they played less than half their schedule, right? So there's still time, and they're still in that, you know, that jumbled up crazy group of teams in the 3-9 bracket that have all got either 7 losses or 8 losses. So, yeah, they've got a home game this Thursday, but who are they hosting? A red hot Tasmania Jack Jumpers.
Yeah. You got the Jackies.
Have won 4 straight of the hottest team in the league.
Yeah, you got the Jackies. Then you got Adelaide waiting for you on Saturday and Montrez ready to run through a brick wall. Then they've got the Kings in Auckland next week. And then, oh, who's that? Another return date with the Jack Jumpers on Christmas, this time in Hobart.
Yeah.
So they could be losing 8 straight by the time we even get to the last week of the year.
Yeah.
I can't understand.
Let's hope not, but yeah, all signs at the moment are pointing towards it.
I don't understand this club. I do not understand this club. I've not been this upset about them for 5 years after the events in Perth all that time ago. Oh, and then they finish, they'll beat Cairns on New Year's Eve, you would think, in Cairns. You would think.
Nah, that's Cairns's, that's their game.
Yeah.
Like that New Year's Eve game, they've won games on that night that they had no right to. Because that game to them is so special. It really is. And has been for years upon years. So I wouldn't pencil that in as a win for New Zealand at all. I think if there's a game that Cairns are going to win this year at home, that's the one.
What a shame. They were looking so good. Melbourne, Illawarra, you had Adelaide in there, and New Zealand. That's it. They've just blown up a team that could potentially win a title for a couple of clicks on social media. Congratulations. Here's a medal. Dumb.